Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hey, hey, welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. Thank you for stopping by. Make yourself comfortable. Pull up a chair. Grab a drink. We are going to talk about, for the remainder of the program, the Mass readings for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, just to give you an idea, just to sort of frame this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time, there are 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time, and then the 34th Sunday is the Solemnity, which closes out the church year of Christ the King. So we are more or less just about halfway through the church year, kind of hard to believe, you know, and then it starts all over again with Advent. We're going to hear, I think, one of my favorite Bible passages, or verses today, to be more accurate. Actually, the whole passage is pretty good. I'm just arguing with myself, in case you wonder what I'm doing. Oh, man. This comes from the Gospel today, one of my favorite Bible passages. I think one of the most profound and powerful ones that you can ever possibly hear. And it really speaks to me, and I have a feeling it's going to speak to you, too. So I hope you're doing well. I want to thank you for listening to the show. I want to thank you for helping me spread the word about the program. I want to thank you for your donations, for your prayers, for all that you do to encourage me. Because you know what? Honestly, I have my ups and downs. There are times when I wonder, is what I am doing making a difference? Should I push more? Should I go into other areas? But I really feel this is where the Lord wants me right now. You know, I used to do a lot of speaking around the country. But with the coronavirus, there a lot of speaking is most of it's just been shut down. So this works really good for me. I'm glad that I do want to get out on the road again at some point. So please keep me in mind if your parishes or your conferences ever do start up and you would like to have me come in and speak, because I'm sure that's going to start up again eventually. But for right now, I do my radio, do a lot of radio. I do this program. I do my daily show, which is Following the Truth. And if you're not familiar with that program, you can find that at followingthetruth.com, which is my main website. I do a daily show, a podcast similar to this program, 30 minutes each day, focusing on giving you hope. I also do my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. If you're not on the list, followingthetruth.com is the place to go for that. In addition to my writing, you know, I don't think I've made this announcement yet, but in addition to the books that I have already written, I've signed contracts for 7 more books that are going to be coming out. So If you're a follower of my work and you like reading my books, God willing, as long as I'm around, I've got the contracts for 7 more books that are going to be coming beginning this fall in October, with the release of Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. That's going to be coming out. It's all about the Holy Spirit. That'll be out in October. But after that, there are 6 more books that I'll be writing. So God has been good to me, and you know, here's the deal. I just want to help people in any way that I can, and that's you, That's anybody who reads my books, anybody who hears my talks. I want you to know that Jesus is real, that he transformed my life, that my life before and after surrendering to Jesus looks radically different. He's a source of peace for me. He's a source of comfort. And even though the world is crazy right now, and I can't kid you and tell you the world isn't crazy, the world's crazy. A lot of nutty stuff going on. Even though the world's crazy, as long as I connect with Jesus through the Mass, through spiritual reading, through reading the Bible, through prayer, as long as I do that, I'm peaceful. And he's the secret. He's the answer. So that's my goal, to help bring you closer to Jesus, to bring you into a deeper relationship with him, and to let you know that it's possible. You don't need to be an intellectual. All you got to do is look at me, and you're going to have that doubt removed. If he can speak to me, he can speak to you. And that's my goal. And I do thank you for tuning into the program and for listening to me and for helping me spread the word. That really means a lot to me. And, you know, I was telling somebody this the other day. Doing this show makes me feel so good. This is one of the ways that I really find comfort in life, because I'm talking about Jesus and I'm connecting with him just as you are. I might be delivering the message over this microphone, but the Lord's speaking to me too. And that's why, if you notice, I always say, and you'll hear me say this when we do the prayer in a couple minutes, I always ask the Lord to open all of our hearts and minds, because he speaks to me through my words too. Isn't that funky? That's a theological term, by the way. Oh, man. But really, he does. So let me stop rambling and let's get started with this program. But we're going to pray, which is my favorite part of this show right now, because I get the chance to talk to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I get to talk to him right now. And I would invite you to join me as we begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here for me, Lord. I am in your presence right now, spiritually, but I am in your presence. You hear me, you see me, you are pleased that we are all turning to you in prayer right now. And it's so great to know that we can bring comfort to your sacred heart, Jesus. At the same time, you help us. We know that we're comforting you and pleasing you by turning to you in prayer. The first thing we want to do, Lord, is give you praise. All honor, all glory belongs to you, Lord Jesus. We bow down before you. We worship you. We praise you. We give you thanks, Lord, for your power, for your greatness. We recognize what you did on the cross for us. We recognize that you performed numerous miracles. You healed the sick. You raised the dead. And you rose from the dead yourself. You ascended into heaven. And we believe you are seated at the right hand of the Father now. That's what I call powerful, Lord. You're the type of guy that I want on my side. And Lord Jesus, we turn to you with grateful hearts, confidently presenting our intentions to you. Lord, please give us what we need. Whatever we need this day, we ask you to provide for us. Above all, we ask to be changed spiritually through the working of your Holy Spirit, so that we can be transformed into your image. And that's only possible through the work of your Spirit, Lord. Grant us the grace to cooperate with the Spirit to make that change happen. Lord, we pray for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for healing for anybody who is affected by the virus spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. We pray, Lord, for complete healing. And we pray with confidence, fully respecting that your will be done. We're going to let you set the time frame for this. But we pray with confident expectation. We expect you to hear and act on this prayer. Again, we don't know how, but we pray for that complete healing, because we know you can heal the sick. You can wipe out disease. You can do it, Lord Jesus. So we pray to you and ask you to do that with confidence. Lord, we pray that we can grow closer to you, that we can know you better, that we can be more willing to serve you, to love you, to avoid temptation, to break free from the tricks of the devil. And Lord, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us this day. Increase the work of your Spirit in us. Holy Spirit, come alive. Please guide my words, Jesus. Guide my words. And open all of our hearts and minds to be receptive to the message that you have for us today. Jesus, we ask this in your powerful name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for praying with me. And, you know, this came up on my my daily podcast last week. The idea of who do you pray to? Do you pray to God the Father? Do you pray to Jesus? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? We can pray to all of them. When you pray, you see, the thing is, and I was saying on the podcast, and I'll make the point here as well, I got to do a show on this one day because I think this drives some people crazy. We don't want to exclude the Father, because if you listen to Jesus, yes, we follow Jesus. He came to earth, sent by the Father as an expression of his love for us. But we don't want to exclude the Father, because Jesus said to go to your room and pray to your Father. Your Father will provide what you need. And when asked how to pray, he taught us the Our Father. So we don't want to leave out the Father. But if you're talking to Jesus, you don't necessarily have to repeat, and this is something I've always struggled with, all of your intentions to the Father. And if you talk to the Father, you don't necessarily have to repeat everything to Jesus. They are one. Some of this is beyond our comprehension because we have a finite intelligence. We're human. And then we can't leave the Holy Spirit out, because the Holy Spirit was sent to us. And the Holy Spirit is the very Spirit which animated Jesus when he walked the face of the earth to help us to live the Christian life. So we don't want to leave the Holy Spirit out either. They all technically have different roles to play. But don't get too hung up as to who you might be praying to. Just make sure you're praying. You're communicating with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in some way. And the saints are important too. Of course, they're not divine. They're not God. But they are in a good place to help us out and to help us to grow closer to the Lord, right? So, again, we'll talk more about this in the future. But today I address the prayer to Jesus. Some days I address it to the Father. Other days I've been known to even pray to the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The Gospel's a killer today. It's a real good one. We're going to lead with the Gospel as I do on the program every day. By the way, followingthetruth.com is my website if you want to find out more information about my work. I normally give that at the start of the show. I forgot to do that today. The Gospel, I always lead with the Gospel on this program, and today's going to be no exception. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. And really, let's pray. Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts so we can hear your message today. At that time, Jesus exclaimed. And you know what? Jesus is praying here. So listen, we get a glimpse into how Jesus is praying. How cool is that? I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. So listen, if we want to get to know the Father, that happens through Jesus. But the really neat thing is, you know, we want to be transformed into the image of Jesus. We want to be Jesus. In effect, that's who we are created to be, the image of Christ. That's our goal. And through the Holy Spirit, we want to get as close to perfection in Jesus as possible. When we look at what happened here, we see how Jesus prays. So if you want to model his prayer, that's a good thing. I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Think about that. That's a good prayer, Father in heaven. I give you praise. You are Lord of heaven and earth. And then he goes on to say, you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, yet you have revealed them to little ones. In order to accept the revelation of Jesus and get to know him, right? You got to be humble. You got to be a little one. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon. Again, I kid around about that, but it's really true. I've got limited human intelligence, but the Lord's going to speak to me on my level. That means I will not understand everything in the Bible, in the catechism. I want to understand it all, or I may not understand it all at this time. Understand what you can. Get out of it what you can. The Lord will speak to you. He's going to give you what you need to know. Just believe that, okay? Don't get overwhelmed by what you don't understand. Focus on what you do understand. So then Jesus goes on to say, I think, one of my favorite Bible passages of all time. You ready? These are the words of Jesus and an invitation to you. Come to me, all you who are labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We've talked about this before, but this is a great invitation for you and me. Jesus is saying, come to me, pick up your cross, follow me. You labor, you're burdened, you're tired, you're weary, all that jazz, and I'm going to give you rest. I'm in. And, you know, because I need the rest. I'm tired. I'm weary. You know, you look at the news, you look at my Facebook feed, it's nuts. It's crazy. I'm sick of it. Jesus, I need you, right? Do you feel that way? That's the offer. Let's look at the first reading. In the first reading of the gospel, they go hand in hand. So the church picked this first reading to go with the gospel. The gospel's driving the train. But each week, throughout ordinary time, we're going through Matthew's gospel this year. The first reading is picked to match up to the gospel. So we read from the Old Testament, from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 through 10. Zechariah is one of the minor prophets. Minor being not that he's of lesser importance. The books of the minor prophets are shorter than the books of the major prophets, right? That's why they have that name. Thus says the Lord. So we're going to be hearing the Lord speaking through the prophet Zechariah. Rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king shall come to you, a just Savior, as he is, meek, and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now, this is a prophecy about the coming of Jesus. And this is used, I believe this is used on Palm Sunday. Your king shall come to you, just Savior. He is meek and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. Jesus is humble. He was so humble that he became man and lived a very obscure life. He lived a normal life in a town that nobody cared about. He was very humble. Nazareth, a place that wasn't thought of very highly. And there's a lesson for us. When Jesus talked about at the beginning of this, the gospel today, the wise and the learned, because they have pride, and not always, but in certain cases, it's difficult for people who consider themselves wise or learned to humble themselves enough to listen to Jesus. But the prophecy is telling us the king of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he's not going to come in the way the people were expecting him to come. And you got to be humble if you're going to really accept Jesus, because you got to recognize you need a Savior. And for many people, that's not easy, because we're used to being self-sufficient, right? Humility, though, that's how the Savior will come. So if you want to be like Jesus, again, that's what we're called to be, you got to be humble. You've got to be humble. The king, or the kingship of Jesus, I should say, is not your ordinary kingship, not what we expect. He reigns from a cross, which is really bizarre, isn't it? But that's what the Christian life is all about. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Humble yourselves before God. Be humble. And let God raise you up, right? That's the key. The responsorial, that's good stuff, man. I love talking about this. These readings, I just love the way the church puts these together. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 145. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. I will extol you, O my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. The Lord is faithful in all his words and holy in all his works. The Lord lifts up, pay attention now, the Lord lifts up all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. See, that's what humility is all about. We want to be lifted up by the Lord. We don't want to call attention to ourselves, and we can do that sometimes. Not everybody, but we can do that. And look, as an author, as a speaker, as somebody who does radio, I got to watch that. Because I struggle with that sometimes. Sometimes I'll say, wow, this is pretty good. And I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And then I pray that the Lord always keeps me humble. And he does. He makes me realize what I'm capable of on my own. And that's a good thing. Because I always want to realize that I'm weak. It doesn't mean I don't have gifts. It doesn't mean I don't have talents. The same with you. You've got talents. You have gifts. But remember, they come from the Lord. And they're supposed to be used to serve him. Not to feel good about yourself. Now, it doesn't mean you can't feel good about yourself. Don't get me wrong. But we don't want to get that pride. Because I see a lot of that today, even in the Catholic world. I'm a better Catholic than this person because they believe in this, that, or the other thing. Not me. Not me. Nope. Mm-mm. Right? When we start getting like that, we're the Jews and the leaders that Jesus would constantly call out. Because we can be hypocrites. Got to be careful about that. We have to be humble. We have to imitate Jesus. Listen, as long as we keep our eye on him and focus on him being our role model, we are going to be okay. The little ones. That's who we are called to be, the little ones. If we're supposed to be lifted up, if God wants us to have notoriety, he's going to make it happen. And that applies whether you're working at your parish or in your office or wherever you are. Don't seek the recognition. Don't do it just to show off. And look, we all like that praise sometimes. I like when people praise me. But I shouldn't seek it. That shouldn't be the sole purpose of why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's okay to work behind the scenes sometime. Remember, Jesus lived in an obscure village. In Nazareth. Nobody cared about Nazareth. It was a nothing town. That's where he chose to come, to be born as a baby. Not a lot of power there. He humbled himself. And where does he sit now? Where is Jesus now in the Eucharist? Ignored, disrespected by so many people. He allows himself to be placed in the hands of sinners like me. You know, that's humility. Let's look at the second reading. It's from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. Brothers and sisters, you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit. If only the Spirit of God dwells in you, whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit that dwells in you. Consequently, brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Okay, here we see an endorsement for living in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit at baptism, and that gift is strengthened at confirmation for a reason. Because Jesus did not expect us to follow him on our own. to become holy on our own, to do good deeds on our own, to get to heaven on our own. We do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And what does it require in order to live in the power of the Spirit? You got it. Humility. Because it's not me. My role is to cooperate, to ask the Spirit to help me, and then to follow the lead of the Spirit by cooperating with the graces He gives me. We get ourselves, and I say we, including me, because I do this all the time, we get ourselves into trouble because we try to be good Christians, good followers of Jesus on our own. We just look at his words, his deeds, and we try to imitate him. You're not going to cut it by doing that. You're going to fail. You're only going to succeed in imitating Jesus by letting the Holy Spirit work and transform you. You know, the Holy Spirit can love other people through you. The Holy Spirit can give you the peace, the joy that you're looking for. The Holy Spirit can allow you to be patient. Patience, that's one thing that I really struggle with. Well, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. You know, I need self-control. I get so frustrated by what's going on in the world that it's easy to not be able to control myself. These are all fruits of the Spirit. So in order to follow Christ and be Christ in the world, which again is what we're called to do, that's a tall order, we need to depend on the Spirit. We need to live in the Holy Spirit. And that requires us to surrender. Oh boy, don't like that. Yep, we have to surrender and let the Lord's Spirit work through us. But if we do that, and if we recognize our place, we're the follower, Jesus is the leader. It's not the other way around. That's why Peter had to be reprimanded by Jesus when he said, "Get behind me, Satan." When Peter tried to rebuke Jesus and say, no, they can't, you can't suffer. Peter had to be reminded that he is the follower. Get behind me, Satan. Yeah, strong language, I get it. But we need that reminder sometimes too. He's the boss. That's why we call him Lord. And if we're going to mean it, if we're going to mean it and say those words, we're going to use that word, I should say, we got to mean it. If you're going to call Jesus Lord, then make sure you listen to him and recognize that he's the boss. And again, that requires humility. Not the easiest thing. So there's the message. We are called to follow Jesus. Come to him. We're going to get peace, rest. If you're burdened, I'm burdened. I need that. How do I follow him? I admit that I'm not the one leading. I'm the follower. I can't follow him if I'm always trying to stay in front of him. And if you let him work with you and let the Spirit work in you by surrendering, you're going to cruise through this life. I shouldn't say that. There's going to be struggles too, but you're going to be very peaceful. And you'll end up in heaven, which is where we all want to get to. Okay. Believe it or not, we're out of time. I always say that because I can't believe how fast the time goes. I love hanging out with you on the Gary Zimek Show. Please, if you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. That's gary@followingthetruth.com. And if you'd like to help my ministry by making a donation, keep me on the air. I really could use it. You just go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and then you'll be all set. You donate securely through PayPal. Again, thanks for your donations. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm going to be praying for you, and God willing, I hope to be back with you next week right here on The Gary Zimek Show. God bless you.
These are unprecedented times for our world, our nation, and our faith. Cities are being burned. The debate rages over our national identity, and a global pandemic has shut down our parishes and deprived the faithful of the sacraments. Times like these can challenge our faith and our hope. Now more than ever, Catholics need to utilize technological advances to strengthen their faith. Endorsed by faithful bishops and cardinals, Breadbox Media is answering this need by providing on-demand podcasting that is faithful to the magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church. our podcasts let you nurture your faith at any location, at your convenience, and at no cost. We are able to provide this free service because of the generosity of our donors. Would you consider giving a donation today to support this vital ministry? Not only is your donation tax deductible, but you will be helping to transform hearts, minds, and our culture for Christ. Donations can be made by going to breadboxmedia.com. Thank you, and may God bless you.